controlled access highway. Two, no sign shall be closer than 3 feet from the edge of the pavement of the road. Three, no sign shall obscure motorist visibility at an intersection. Four, no sign shall be higher than 42 inches above the edge of the pavement of the road. Five, no sign shall be larger than 864 square inches. Six, no sign shall obscure or replace another sign. C, penalties for unlawful removal of signs is a class 3 misdemeanor for a person to steal, deface, vandalize, or unlawfully remove a political sign that is lawfully placed under this section. F, application within municipalities. Pursuant to Article 8 of Chapter 160A of the General Statutes, a city may by ordinance prohibit or regulate the placement of political signs on the right-of-way of streets located within the corporate limits of a municipality and maintained by the municipality. In absence of an ordinance prohibiting or regulating the placement of political signs on the right-of-way of streets located within a municipality and maintained by the municipality, the provisions of subsection B through C of this section shall apply.
Did I answer your question or no?
Sure.
I was asking.
How? Oh.
I mean, town attorney says so, sure.
So it says you can't have signs in right of way of extraterritorial jurisdiction?
It says if we don't maintain the road,
it's not within our municipal borders.
They can
put
the signs.
Roads, but we maintain
the right
of way. The
right
of way.
And it's not within our municipality.
So what does that say about 420? I'm sorry, what does it say about Fort Fisher, which is 421?
It's maintained by
the town.
It's maintained by the town.
Well, except for paving. We didn't pay for paving.
We don't pay for
it. The road is maintained by the state.
Right.
The road is not the right.
The road is maintained by the state.
But nothing told them on the right.
So, yeah. So we have a
mess.
A motion and a second.
Yes.
Request a vote unless there's more discussion.
Could you?
So we can get out before 10.
Nancy, could you repeat the motion?
I can repeat it.
I'm
going
to have to ask you to repeat it.
I can repeat
seriously,
it.
Seriously.
I will be glad to repeat it.
One of the things is I'm looking here and you said something about.
Yeah, it's hard to go back.
That's all right. I got it. Right. So I'll remake my motion. And I will read it in verbatim. During the period beginning on the 30th day before the beginning date of one-stop early voting and ending on the 10th day after the primary, comma, runoff, comma, general, or election day, political signs may be erected on any privately owned premises. Delete, portable political signs are not permitted. Continue. Political signs may not exceed 6 square feet in size. Political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way, in the town limits, or in any publicly owned property. Political signs in the extraterritorial jurisdiction shall be placed near the tree line from the edge of the road. Political signs may not be erected within 50 feet of the town hall or polling place 24 hours prior to the scheduled election, subject to limits imposed by the New Hanover County Board of Elections. So moved.
And I believe Joseph seconded that.
Second.
Still second.
And so let me just get this. So what you're doing actually is you are adding after the primary, comma, runoff, comma, general. That's what that is.
That's what I added.
Election.
Yep.
And then get rid of the portable.
Delete.
Political signs.
The portable political signs are not permitted.
Otherwise, so
that's it. Yes, ma'am. That's the only two changes.
Any more comments? Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed?
All right,
your motion passes.
Thank you, P&Z.
You have to schedule a public hearing.
Yep. Make a motion we schedule a public hearing as part of the April 19th meeting at 6 p.m.
Second.
6 p.m. To start early.
Well, then that's actually going to not be part of the regular meeting. I'm sure you don't want to make it the first
time. Okay, I'll make it part of the regular meeting, 6:30. Sorry. Thanks for the guidance. That's my motion, 6:30.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Okay. Would you like to talk about shipping containers?
You talking to me?
Yes.
Sir, you're next.
Yeah, you're on
you're
the,
still up, big guy.
You're on the schedule
well,
there.
Thank you, so I
have to. Yes. Thank you for part one.
I didn't say thank you sitting down. I just said thank you.
You did. You did a great job, sir. Sorry we missed you.
Do you have an update? You're still working on it.
I'm still working on it, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the update.
Thank you for the update.
So will you have something in the next meeting? When will you have something?
I don't know.
Well, I think they want to know.
Well, I'm on the PMC, so I thought we were going to try next meeting. I thought we had something. I thought we had sent the council to John, am I wrong? I thought we had sent to lay a meeting we had developed to ordinances with allowing within the trailer part and not allowing at all. I guess I'm wrong.
I don't
think we had anything last month.
I think that's what you guys said to us.
I thought we had
any changes in the ordinance as a result.
Yeah,
John. John sent a general note out on the status. John Allen, saying that. Principally, there were still some things to consider. One was the changes to existing areas. So he gave us, I think it came from you guys. Yeah. You probably all read it. So we got a general update that you're still working on it. And I'm fine with that. It's a complex issue. Mm-hmm. And when you guys are ready, come.
Yeah. In the last sentence says, PNC is checking how other towns, Chapel and Care, are handling the issue. That you have two potential ordinances.
We
but
have
they're
checked.
Not here.
We already have checked. We checked with Southport, Topsail, Wilmington, Wrightsville, not Wrightsville, I'm sorry. Most of them don't have this issue yet. They're still waiting. A couple of them have said no, they wouldn't allow them at all, but they haven't had anybody come forward yet. Wilmington has them and is allowing them in a certain situation. Of course, we know Carolina Beach has it.
Well, so can you bring it to the next meeting? It sounds like you're close. Can you guys target to bring it to the next meeting and share the two ordinances early so we can actually read them before we get there?
Right. Yeah. If that's what you want.
Is that what we want, man?
Yes.
I would like that. There you go. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Yes, sir. You're doing a great job, Alan.
Okay. Shoreline access, beach protection, and marketing. Oh, yes, sir.
I'd like to make a comment. I heard what you had said earlier, but I want to point out so everyone will understand that when I went before P&Z, the P&Z attorney got involved in this just like I did. So he had his say, and I want you to think that I did it alone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
Can you note that in the record, please, Nancy? Okay. Shoreline Access, Beach Protection, and Parking Committee. Non-town committee reports.
What are non-town committee reports?
Like the ADA, the bicycle pedestrian.
So they should be under newer old business, not under committee business, I think.
Well, I think the idea was to have this in here regularly every month to encourage them to give us reports.
Okay.
I think we had an outside committee one time that went for 2 years without a report, and this was...
Okay,
just to encourage them to do so. Department head business, administration and recreation. Nancy?
In your agenda packets under department head business, you have a memo from me. At the council retreat in February, I was directed to prepare the process to hire an architect to provide drawings and a construction budget for the expansion of town hall and to build a new fire station. There is a North Carolina general statute that states that towns, counties, anyone hiring an architect, engineer, surveyor, or other design service can only do that based on qualifications of the firm. They cannot ask for pricing. They have to select based on qualifications. Once they select a firm, it's based on qualifications, then they can negotiate a price. If they can't negotiate an acceptable price, then they go to the next architect. This requirement puts council in the position of trying to decide whether the price the selected firm sets is reasonable without having any means of comparison with what another firm would charge. There's also another general statute that allows us to exempt based on qualifications only. Part of the reason for this, we went through this process with the park, the Ocean Front Park. We had an RFQ, council had the architects in front of them, and then realized that they couldn't talk about price. I'm also asking council, if you go this way with the exemption, is to approve the request for architectural design service that I also included in your packet. The request is to submit pricing to provide conceptual drawings for a new fire station building, expansion of the town hall building for additional office meeting space, redesign of the existing fire station office space to accommodate use by the police department, and redesign of existing traffic flow and parking for both staff and the public. Proposals would be received by April 20th to be reviewed by the council at the April 22nd budget workshop. We need to push it out a little bit since this March meeting was so late. It only just be about 2.5 weeks to get the information to the architect and for them to respond. Pushing out to the 22nd gives us at least 3.5 weeks to get responses back. In terms of funding, at the retreat, you also directed the finance officer to prepare a resolution transferring $30,000 from the contingency fund. You've already voted on that as part of your consent agenda tonight. Now, you don't have to do it this way. We can, I can alter the document and do a request for qualifications and approach it from that aspect.
Nancy, from how would you determine, how do you determine qualifications? Aren't they all licensed architects? Is there a difference in licenses or something? Or
no, but you look at, you can look more at experience in coastal building, or if you particularly want green design, or experience in green design, number of staff, other projects that they've done of this size and scope.
So it's subjective.
Yes.
It's all subjective.
And that's why the General Assembly lets us exempt the cost so we can look at the money,
right.
Too, right? Which,
yeah.
I think that's always a better way to look at a contractor.
With the park, we have a stack of them, and they're
right.
All beautiful and well done, but you can find differences with each one.
Correct. Yeah. I make a motion we pass Resolution R-1605.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And I don't know if you had a chance to review the request for architectural design services that's in the packet. Did you want me to do any comments on that? Talks about scope of work, proposed submission, content of the responses.
John, were you okay with it?
Yes, the problem's very well done.
Okay.
All the department heads have reviewed it.
They're all in favor? Are they all in favor?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I make a motion that we accept it for sending out for proposals.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I also had a request that, thank you, Nancy. Nancy has done an excellent job of putting this together and getting it out to local architects, and I assume any other architect in the general area that would be interested. I believe that we need a project manager on this, even though we're not going into construction yet, somebody who works with the architect to see that all the wishes of everybody are included, that all of our ordinances are being met, that everything, whatever happens, somebody to look after the architect at this particular point. And I would like that, I would like to recommend that that be our building inspector, John Batson. Would you like to make a comment, Mr. Batson?
I believe it's a little early for that. You know, Nancy and I will be working hand in hand throughout this process anyway. Obviously, one of the first steps of choosing an architect after we choose them is for him to come sit down with us and discuss what we want. So, I mean, all of this is already going to be happening, more or less.
Okay. Is everybody comfortable?
So I think in the short term, after we pick an architect, we should discuss that. Mm-hmm. So I think we should be thinking about it. I don't think we should do it tonight, but because it really depends on the architect's firm strengths and weaknesses, who's the right person. I think John's a good person to do that, but I think you match project managers with who you pick.
Okay.
And see where we're at. So I think it's a good discussion point for us, because we don't want to run into what happened with the town park, we would look, rather avoid some of those issues, right?
Thank you.
So I agree with you. Good.
I don't have a problem, basically, with that direction. We do have several department heads who have a very specific idea of what should be going on with their department. I don't know that we would want the project manager to specifically have the ability to override what they want or do any of that stuff. But from a perspective of somebody to make sure dates are hit, follow the Gantt charts, make sure that, you know, things are pretty much on track. We don't have some funnel for approval to revisions. That I think we will need something like that, but maybe not at this point.
I'll just need to make a point real quick. That title is loosely used. Mm-hmm. Project manager means to me, I'm a representative of the town that's looking over the project. I'm not interested in having a thing to do with this project if an architect is not the actual project manager of the entire process once he's hired. That's the only way that this should go forward whatsoever.
Yep.
Okay, and John and I have talked about this, and we've agreed to disagree. This could be, because I've looked into what the costs are per square foot, what the general cost for an architect or an engineer being 10 to 20% of what the overall cost of the project is. And we've been talking about what could be a $2 million project, okay? Which, and that's a lot of money, between $100,000 and $200,000 for an architect. After what we went through on the park, I would like very, very much to have a staff person as a project manager. Not that I don't trust architects, some of my best friends are architects, but when the time comes, I just think it's very, very important to have a town staff person who's familiar with construction and can oversee the project, and get to that point at that time.
But just based on what we did before, was the architect was running the project.
The architect or the engineer?
For the park, it was the engineer. And John and I both agree it should be the architect. When we expanded out here, it was the architect. The architect ran the contractor. But John doesn't want to get in the middle of it, he's trying to run the contractor. But your liability should be on the architect.
I'm the voice piece of the town, as far as dealing with architects.
And John's always responsibility. He's always got the ability to come to council, we disperse the funds. Yeah.
But I don't know anything about construction either.
Oh, what I had, trust me, you're going
to
learn.
What I had suggested and would personally like to pursue is Kevin, who is the project manager for the New Hanover County on the on some of their major construction jobs, like the $4 million new Myrtle Grove Library. Have him come and talk to us. If you know anybody who's already educated on all of this, need not attend. If it's just me, I would like for him to come and talk to us about, in a project that's $2 million or more, what do you have to, what do you do?
Well,
what does a project manager do? Who should that be? And I would like some training in that.
The other item with this is not a item that we've already said we are officially going to do.
Right.
So I think that may be the time at
to
which
bring
we
somebody
make
in
all these decisions, because we've got to get through the budget
so
process.
Prepared for it too.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Question.
Anybody else? Questions?
A suggestion more than anything else. You've had a very similar project occur on Silo.
With what?
You had a very similar project occur on the Silo.
And it was horribly overspent
and
not very well managed.
And there's a reason for that.
There are a number of
reasons. It should be looked at and talked to the folks that were involved.
Okay.
So that you got a leg up on maybe get it right the first time. if you are looking at a dedicated project manager for a $2 million project, personal opinion as a project manager professional certified, John will not have the bandwidth to do that by himself. No way, no how.
No.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. Right. So
I just mentioned that as in good faith. As
no, I agree with you.
You got some neighbors down the street that learned some hard lessons. And
yes, they did.
You can certainly keep from repeating.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Finance department. Building department.
Very quickly, I assume everybody received the project update from Bob Kiesler about the beach nursery project.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to say anything more about that? Okay. We received or came a permit exemption for the H Avenue handicap ramp. Okay. I have told the contractor he may move forward with construction. I need council's approval to close down the H Avenue beach access starting Monday. I anticipate it remaining open during the week or during the weekends with construction materials and equipment blocked off. But being that it is technically a street that needs council approval.
Make a motion we close. How long will it be closed?
I don't anticipate construction lasting more than about 5 weeks. He's saying 4 weeks, so I'm saying 5 weeks.
And open on the weekends?
That's what I'm
with park for. With parking lot, basically parking spaces brocade off with building materials.
I see no reason why we can't have at least, it can't be partially open.
Aren't we removing the whole crossover
though?
Yes. Probably limit him to one side.
Crossover doesn't go all the way across the parking lot though.
So the parking lot will be open, but the crossover might be blocked off on some of those weekends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I make a motion we close the H Avenue access and parking lot as necessary to support the project.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Fire department, police department, public works, old business. Under old business, Sonny came to us a month or two ago about changing out the LED lights throughout the town. And at that time, he was under the impression that wouldn't be happening for several months, and he was going to ask for it to be paid for out of next year's budget. While I had an email from a gentleman at Duke Energy, he did not specifically say that we needed to tell them in writing that we were interested in doing this. And then after talking with John Elliott, our liaison at Duke Energy, I found out, yes, they have, I guess they've already done Wrightsville Beach. They're in Carolina Beach now. It's easier and less expensive if they can do, or easier. They can do all of us at one time. And told Mr. Elliott that we would be very interested and let David Munn, who had been in contact with us originally, know that the council would discuss it this week. Did not tell him specifically because, of course, I couldn't approve it without getting your approval. So you have a handout from Nancy that outlines the cost of this, which, if we approve doing it, means transferring $6,400 from the contingency fund to public works in order to complete having our town lights changed to LED lights. Any questions?
Did they say the savings for electricity, or they didn't?
They said we would save $3,400 annually.
Yeah.
Make a motion we transfer $6,400.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That's
okay. New business. Interviewing applicants, and I think you've got somewhere along the way, you have what's in our regulations
yep.
For doing that, and Apparently, we can't allow PNC and BOA to do that because of state law.
Right.
Now, Andy, there's no way at all we can just let them informally talk to someone and, I mean, they wouldn't even have to give us a recommendation, but it seems something as important as PNC, it would be good if the applicant could hear from them about what you actually do on PNC, and PNC talk to them and see how compatible they are. I mean, I know we used to do that when Betty was mayor.
Yeah.
So, but we would be breaking the state law if we let them interview somebody.
Well,
or they did it and we didn't know about it.
What they did was back then was they didn't have an official interview before the committee. It was one of those things when whoever was appointed, they were on the list, the committee would come forth and say, you know, we think he's a good guy and what have you. They didn't interview. Council interviewed.
Okay, I was interviewed. But nevertheless, is it okay with you guys if the rest of our committees, you know, interview their potential clientele to...
I think that's in there, right?
Yes.
They already do.
So we can now let them know, because I'm not sure many of them have been doing that.
They all do that. All the committees do that. It's only PNC and Board of Adjustment. That
well, I know they can do that. I don't know if they have been doing it. If,
yes,
Nancy, if we could just let them know that that is in there and is available to them.
You must remember that the Board of Adjustments is a very unique committee.
Right.
It is a quasi-judicial committee.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
So,
that's
the council needs to do its work when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, you also have information about the North Carolina Byways, or I think in another handout it's being called something totally different. North Carolina Coastal Towns. And I have that down here.
Just right here, if you want the event sponsor stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your new business tab. Wherever new business is, old business, new business.
Here we go. Okay. Okay, the meeting is coming up. Anyway, you have information somewhere in there that tells you about all of the different sponsorships. The bronze sponsorship is $250, which is the cheapest. We have, to my knowledge, at least for many, many years, we have not sponsored anything that they have ever done. And I thought it would be nice, along with all the other towns involved, that we step up to the plate and do the $250. Let me say, at the same time, we're talking about approving travel expenses for Craig and I to attend, and if anybody else wants to attend, now is a good time to say so. Nancy Hewitt, do you recall how much the registration fee is?
Let's see, did I put it in your consent agenda?
Yes.
No, it's in well, you said
$600.
But that includes travel.
Yes.
Do you know how much
of it? I broke it out in the consent agenda. I broke it out on a little grid.
No, I don't have that little grid.
But it's been, okay, here we go. This one right here, see how
okay.
It's broken out? So the registration fee is $95 each. The hotel is going to cost about $96 each.
96?
For one night. Yeah, no, that was pre-Easter, that price that you saw. When I called them, they said after Easter it goes up.
Okay.
Per diem, and then gas allowance. Now, I put the gas allowance down for both of you guys driving separately. You can always save money by driving together, so that's up to you guys.
Okay. Let me tell you also something that K Kathleen Riley is now in charge of this organization. She is the executive director. And while she does not have a lot of material available to her, for reasons all of you are familiar with, she did call and talk to me about our dues are due for this organization, which we have paid every year for years and years. When you pay your dues, you're allowed to have two free attendees at one or the other meetings that they have, spring or fall, which means our registration could be free this year if we agree to ride in the same car or let Carolina Beach drive. That would save even more money. But mainly wanted to let us know, because apparently most of the towns involved never knew that they could have two free registrations. So please,
see the return either.
Yes, so no, they don't. So please note that and don't send in the registration. Just tell them we want two free ones. I assume that that's okay with you guys. Now, do I hear any discussion on the possibility of sponsoring, being a bronze sponsor?
So I make a motion that we are a bronze sponsor and that we approve up to $695. I encourage you to use less to attend the meeting.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
The Water and Sewer Authority, is that number three, correct?
Yes.
Water, yep, I got it. So we met with Carolina Beach about the water and sewer rates. We discussed with them the spending, and Arlen did a great job of going through it. There's a memo if you want to see all the changes. But basically, I make a motion that we approve the variable cost rate increase to $77.66 per 1,000 gallons. The fixed cost of $13,671.31 per month, and capital recovery cost of $3,746.25 per month.
How is this different from?
So it's a small increase in the variable rate, and it's a increase driven by improvements required by the state on the fixed cost increase. If you want me to pull the all of the what's under new business. The memo, yeah. There's a memo from Arlen, mm-hmm. which is in your new business.
That's okay.
That covers everything about it, right?
Yep.
So, so it's a 1 cent increase per 1,000 gallons. Actually, a 1 cent decrease per 1,000 gallons on the variable cost, and a $4,000 increase in the fixed cost due to state mandated improvements to the sewer fund. So we're still in good shape. Sunny still has on the plan to work to divert more of our sewage to our lagoon, which will save us money, and we hope to get that in this year. So this increase is reasonable, and Arlen did a good job of analyzing all their inputs. So that's my motion.
And I think you did make a motion?
Made a motion, yep.
I would think also that based on Kira Beach is about 10 years ahead of Carolina Beach in infrastructure, and we really had our numbers drop when we stopped sending all the rainwater. Carolina Beach is now starting that process and catching up. So unfortunately, that's going to be our detriment.
Right, yeah. So that's what drives the fixed cost up.
We drive a greater percent.
That's there. Right, that exactly right. Right.
Yep. Yep. No problem.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thanks.
Okay, it's passed. Okay, the council travel expense, well, I think that's pretty much been taken care of, unless you have some question about what is in our, I guess, in our policies and procedures, or is this in our ordinances?
Policy.
Policies and procedures, okay. And you had a travel request that you've already done in the other one. I was told that it had to be approved in advance. It does not say that in here. But all that's taken care of, I assume, unless there are any questions. Okay. Anything else under?
New business number five, room occupancy tax fee.
Yes, go right here.
Cool. Can I step down to the podium for this to present? Thank you, ma'am. Yep, I get it. So I sent a presentation to council, which I updated a little bit. I'll turn it on again. It's on my desktop. So room occupancy tax, a bunch of emails going back and forth through council to update these small contingent of citizens, which is George and then wives of staff members and staff members. This is really talking about what we talked about before, is everyone paying their required room occupancy tax, and how do we get at the fact that the county does not have a robust auditing process for that issue. And so I want to kind of lead you through the discussions I've had with the tax office, some conversations that the mayor had with the county manager, which resulted in an email that you may have all seen. I cut some pieces out of that. And then look at a potential path forward, right? Cool. That's going too fast. Okay, how do you make it do one?
You go backwards.
I'm getting home.
Is it
true? That is? Oh, no, it's here, I stand here. Never mind. We're fine. Don't listen. Okay, so really, what I'm going to talk about is the New Hanover County point of contact, both in the tax office and the finance office, so you see who we've talked to so far. Kind of, I sent this to council, but I'm going to bring up the, don't worry about it, just turn it off. The New Hanover County room occupancy tax letter that was sent out in October. So the tax office is trying to do something. And they actually sent out a letter, and we'll talk about how they targeted that letter. They sent it out to 9,000 properties in the county. Our current Curie Beach room occupancy tax accounts, and I'm not going to go into details of that. I was going to just bring out the Excel spreadsheet that has them all, but I'm not going to waste everyone's time with that. But I will talk about it a little bit. And then kind of what I would say is our plan for the council to consider, right? This is Lisa Werthbacher. The next slide is going to show a letter that she sent and copied all council, so it's going to be a little repetitive. But she is really the finance officer for the county. So when it comes to talking about how it really works, she's not a good person. Chris addressed her with all the issues,
yeah,
and that's great, but she does not know how the tax office operates all the way down to the detail of it. And so really, the county works on an ongoing basis to increase your amount of tax collections. Nice. It's not possible to say with 100% certainty that everyone's required to file and that they're doing it. Yeah, duh, that's why we're talking about it. They're currently working with a firm specializing in room occupancy tax and tax audits to determine how we would address this. And then they're going to give a presentation to the TDA in May about this issue. Okay, that's nice. But that firm is going to tell you that someone's got to go out there and figure who they are. That firm's also going to tell them that there's a whole bunch of properties in New Hanover County, and to do the audit's going to cost a really lot of money, right? We're fortunate we're the smallest groupings of these people, and it's easy for us to figure this kind of stuff out. So our trash guys know who's renting rooms. They can tell you. If you ask Sonny about it, he'll tell you, not only do they know who's renting rooms, they know what they drink, and they know what foods they ate, and they have more pizza boxes than the average residents, except for mine. Sorry. Now, the tax department, this is Roger Kelly. He's a tax administrator. He's a good guy. That's who Arlen deals with on a lot of tax issues. That's one of the people I met with. At the very bottom, you see Keith Harriman. He's the actual guy that deals with this day to day. So he's the one that gets the information that's sent from all the property management companies and all the individual properties, and then he bills them. And so when you ask, how does it work, he's the guy. And so he's the one that I actually met with, him and Roger, to talk about, okay, tell me what data you've got that we're allowed to have, and then realize that if we don't like your data, we're going to go to the county commissioners and request you get some other data, right? And so when you start looking at what they actually have, there's some pretty glaring gaps in their data. So first let's talk about the gaps. So if you go to the tax office and say, I want to set up an account for room occupancy tax, they're fine. Tell us your name, we'll give you an ID number, and then you send it in. Nowhere do they require them to tell which property it's for.
Now, many places report that anyway, and most of the accounts, because they have to mail them stuff, if it's an individual property owner, they're identified by property owners. And so the Excel spreadsheet that we actually got from finance matches the one that the tax office got, because they basically just gave it to her.
They won't even ask how much they charge per month, if it's variable.
They don't do any of that. Nope. They just tell them you're responsible to give 7%. And it's even worse than we realized. So 7% is room occupancy tax, and no, 6% is room occupancy tax, an additional 7% is the sales tax. It goes to the state. So they collect both and send some to the state, some to the room occupancy tax. So it's really 13% taxes if you're not self-identifying that you're not charging. And so one of the reasons I think it'll be easy for us to figure out who's identifying themselves, even though they have an account through like a realty management agency, the realtors will be glad when we explain that to them to tell us who's paying, because the people that aren't paying have a 13% advantage that they can use to beat you on price because they're not paying 13%. So I think it will be pretty easy to find out, to compare what our staff can determine easily, not Phil and Nancy or the staff, with what the tax office and the real estate agents are saying are paying. So everyone's got some incentive to tell us, except for the ones that are escaped, right? This is the note that went out. I just copied it in the presentation right at the top. This is where it says all of the jurisdictions require the same 6%, and when they went in, right? So you can see the dates if you ever need to look back. It's in this letter. And then this is the part this is the letter at the bottom that I kind of cut some stuff in. One, every operator of a business is subject to the tax. Every owner is subject to the tax, and every rental agent, including real estate brokers who rent private residences, cottages, shall collect the appropriate room occupancy tax. So there's only two exceptions, which we'll see on the next page. Then in the bottom, every person, firm, corporation, or association liable for the tax shall, on or before the 20th, not the 15th, which is on our website, but the 20th day of each month, prepare and render a return to New Hanover County. Just a heads up, right? Well, their website, they're probably telling them 5 days so they can meet the requirements. So they may have you may be right, but his letter said the 20th, just so you know. Then there's the penalties. Any person who willfully attempts to evade the tax or attempts to evade making a return and who willfully fails to pay the tax or make and file a return shall be guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor in addition to all other penalties provided by law. So this is the stick, right? And I think as we make our letters out to people, we should be aware of what we should make sure our message matches what New Hanover County says, right? Whenever we can. Here's who it doesn't apply to. If you rent for less than 15 days in the calendar year, it doesn't apply. So one of the issues is when we struggle and look at the other options around fees for whether you're commercial or not, I think these are the ones that we follow. If it's 15 days for short-term rental, and then if you rent for more than 90 or continuous days, it's not a short-term rental, that person's long-term rental, and you treat it like a residence. And I think this is the language, the reason I highlighted this, as we consider if we get to the point, after the attorney looks at it, of, hey, we're going to treat these as businesses and they're going to get commercial rates, this is the language we need to pay attention to so we stay in line with how the tax office.
15 total days in a year?
Yeah. Correct. For short-term, right. But if you like more than that, that's pretty hard. I'm going to talk to you then about what I think is going to be easy for us to audit. Because if we're going to start treating these as businesses, we got to figure out how can we really audit, right? So we can put this as the requirement. But what I would argue the way to audit is if they show up if they're doing VRBO or Airbnb or any of those, at the beginning of each month, we pull their record because they won't tell us. And if they show up 2 months in a row, they're business. That's what I'd propose, maybe, or consider something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then an accommodation arrangement provided to a person by a school, camp, or similar entity where a tuition or fee is charged for a role in the school, camp, or similar entity. I think this one would also sort of apply, but I'm not sure. This is the only one. The reason I put it up is for the Lutheran Retreat Center.
Yeah.
I think that's where they don't have to do it because they're doing short-term rentals, but they're doing it for that, right? Okay, so to the data, we have 96 active accounts. 15 of them are real estate agents that don't provide the individual addresses. So 81 of them currently provide individual addresses. 15 do not. Out of that 15, 14 of those are real estate agencies, which I think will be glad to give us an address. And one's an individual that I think if we ask them, they'll tell us one address or multiple addresses, and it's multiple addresses they're doing.
Now, as an account, is that for one house, or is that a real estate management company that has 15 properties?
It could be 15 properties. Mm-hmm. That's why one of the recommendations is we send a official letter from the town to these 15 accounts and ask them what properties in Curie Beach are they accounting for. So we at least know. Because what I sort of see is we take our total list of properties, give it to the department heads to go out and see, are there any missing? And then once we have those missing properties, that's the ones that we then target with a second letter to say, it has come to our attention, or we believe that you are not in compliance with this letter. We recommend you get in compliance, or we will inform the New Hanover County Tax Office. That's sort of what I think.
Yeah, these are the good guys.
Yeah, I think they'll tell us, right? They'll tell us the properties. The only details that we're currently available are monthly active accounts. So they will not tell us how much they collect. The tax office will not do that. They said you might get, like, legally a request, but a request from the town, we're not going to give you that data without someone telling us it's okay. That's the tax office, guys. Maybe it's public record, maybe not. They're saying it's not right now. I don't know. I didn't research that. They will tell us if it's active in a month. So he can say, yep, they paid us something this month, so we know they're active. And this gets to the, okay, which ones do we treat as businesses or not? If we say they're active for 3 months out of the year, they're a business or whatever, if we try to define that for other funding activities.
So one other point, David. So really then, on this, even for these individuals, nobody knows how much they should pay.
They self-report. What happens is they self-report, we collected this much and here's 6%.
I charge 6, but for basis of this, I could tell them 2.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not saying we rented this house for 1 week for $2,000 right. And this is what we made.
That's
we
right. They do it for the month.
Okay.
If they rented
5 times, they don't break it down. We rented it 5 times.
That's
it's
correct.
Still by the month.
Yeah. Okay. And not only that, the tax office's system's not set up, if they did that, to put all the data in where you could do anything with it. That's what I was frustrated with.
Yeah.
So when I met with the tax guy, Roger, I told him, you know, when we work through this, we may go to the county and say, we recommend you fix this system, and these are the changes we would recommend so we get data. Because right now the data is fairly poor. If a real estate agent's doing 15 properties and they just dump in, here's how much that's, you don't know which property or anything.
Okay, let me tell you, in talking to WRAR and IA and other real estate people, they give that information to the county. The county does not enter it in their database. They don't have a database that allows for that. But anyway, the county is not
right.
Keeping that data.
I know. Yeah.
But the management companies send it
to
them.
But they're not required to. I don't know that every management company is.
Actually,
it's interesting.
Well,
the tax office says you're not.
They're required with the way that they have to file their taxes and how they do it. So internally, yes. How it filters to you guys, no. And remember, I don't do any rentals, but our company has a division that does.
Okay.
Well, do they break it down by property?
Yeah.
Internally, we do. But when they hand it over, the mechanism you guys are using with the county, as she said, they're not filtering it in.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to talk, Justin Ash at our company.
So I can tell you the tax guy showed me some of the records, and many real estate agencies give them, here's our property tax, here's our room occupancy tax and sales tax for the month. One big clump. And it was a big enough number, it wasn't one property.
Right.
So it's not required. Yeah. What they do internally is different from what the county has.
Right.
And so I think one of the recommendations out of this from our council eventually as we work through this is, county commissioners, you should fix this in the tax office. Mm-hmm. And what I told the tax guy is, you need to figure out how much this is going to cost you in resources or new systems so that when they tell you you need to fix it, you're ready to tell them it's going to cost this much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there's not even an audit process for the state tax.
Not that I could tell. I didn't ask about the sales tax.
Yeah.
So, you assume if they had that, then they would be able to.
The sales tax could be off their income tax because they have to report their rental property income. So there could be something there, but it'd be at the state level, not here. And because it's coming in not at the at the individual property level, I don't know how you do it unless they may have to self-report their sales tax a different way, even though they're turning it in.
Okay.
So really for our audit, to do a real audit, you need two things, right? You need who's paying and then who's renting. And those are two separate things. So the who's paying, so first we got to get to who's renting, right? So the who's renting, really, there's a couple ways to do that. One is we ask our department heads, here's the list of who says they're paying, is there somebody missing? And that's a pretty fast thing to go through. So if I give Sonny Beaker the list of 91 properties, and after we ask the rental agencies the other 10 more, 20 more, however many are in there, right, 30 more, whatever, he will be able to easily tell the go out there and say, hey, this one we pick up from and it's missing. And then if you do the same thing with the building inspector or the police department, who are you getting calls on about rental problems? Are any, do you have any in your database that are missing from this list? That's where you get some more. And then the final one is you pull the websites and look at the properties. And so I'll show you that in a minute. So that's our staff side, right?
So the P&Z did request rental properties. And I guess the management company sent the word out.
Yeah.
So this past summer, there was a market decline in complaints. So
that's good.
That's working. So
but well. If they find one, they find one, right? And I don't think it'll take hours and hours of staff time once they get the list, right? They'll recognize, hey, this one, there's one missing. And maybe public, you know, the trash guys put two one on and the same one comes to the police department. Or maybe there's a different one and then maybe one for building inspections. And then the last one is reviewing the website, and I'll show you my review of one of them. I think there's three or four we would need to review. And then the second thing you need is who's paying now, and that's the complete list. And so we have the current accounts and then the group accounts, we're going to have to do something. And I think all we have to do is request that information from the realty companies, and they're going to tell us. Because I don't think it's going to be secret, and they want the non-payers paying too, because they're in competition. So I don't think that's, I think if we send to the 14 group accounts, I think they will all give us the list of these who we're paying for, and it won't be a big deal. If we have a problem with them, we might have to do something different. We can go look at the signs, but I think they'll just give it to us right.
Well, plus, like I said, EA has already agreed to work with us on behalf of the association.
It's in there. It's in there.
And she would be more than glad to contact them individually for you.
So this was just all on the town. Now the last one is the intercept sites, so VRBO, Craigslist, there's Airbnb and one other, right? So Airbnb pays already. So there's a big account for Curie Beach for Airbnb, and the tax office view was, look, you should just assume they're paying because they're not going to give you any information. But you can go on the Airbnb website and pull all the properties in Curie Beach. So we can figure out where they are just to audit them, right? VRBO is different. They do not collect it. They is by owner, so they expect the owners to have accounts. This one you really need to look at. And so if you pull their website, these are just the accounts that I was talking about, right? So you can see the list. And yours isn't on there for any in Curie Beach. They don't have an active account in Curie Beach, at least this year.
They just took over.
Okay. So anyway, these are the ones that I would say we contact. You recognize most of them, right? And then that's talking about the letter. Okay, this is moving from north to south. There's 129 properties that VRBO actually shows as rental. If you expand the map all the way, you can get the addresses off there. I just didn't expand it all the way so I could show you guys, or actually you can see where they are. The red line is our north border, if you didn't pick up on that, because you can't read Alabama very well there. But you can see where they are. It's kind of interesting. Some of them are a little far back. And here's the next grouping part of town, right? And then we just keep going down. This is south of Fort Fisher now, and this is all the way down right at the very south end, all the way to the right, which is basically all the condos, right? So you can see how many of them are listed in VRBO. The question then becomes, you know, are they paying room occupancy tax or not? They do not have, they may have rental properties, rental companies also doing them, and they're double doing. And then the problem becomes when they rent through VRBO, or they don't have their own account, so how are they paying versus when the rental properties are doing? Right?
I agree with you, David. Probably some of these properties are probably on VRBO and Airbnb.
Right. And so, and the tax guy said, if they're paying anything, I don't know how we're going to get into that. And he's got a good point, but we should at least highlight to them we recognize it if we can't. kind of other considerations, right? We said last month that one of the things we need to look at is, if these are businesses, should we treat them as businesses, right?
I have a question on that.
Yep.
Do we have neighborhoods, and I don't mean HOA regulations, but do we have things in our ordinances for particular neighborhoods where businesses are not allowed to operate?
Not for rentals, because you're not allowed to
now,
do that.
Now, if you call it a business, is that going to cause us a legal problem, because now we're considering them a business, we're taxing them as a business, giving water as a business, trash up as a business.
That's your HOA rules.
So that's why I would rather have a new rate.
I think what I'm talking about,
HOA rules allow specifically either disallow or allow.
So I think you're right. So where you're getting to is what I think we would agree to. We're not solving the problem tonight is we would make an interim rate for short-term rentals only. And we have to be careful how we do that, because the hotels, unless we make the rates match, which I think we would, that's what I would encourage us to do. Yeah. So they're the same, but it's called different. And so whether you're a hotel and I want to be on that one or that one, we don't care, it's the same money. So pick whichever one you like. Mm-hmm. But I think you're exactly right. We won't put on the commercial rate. We would make a third rate that I would advocate matches the commercial rate. But we need to look at that, and we would say it's for short-term rentals that fall under the room occupancy tax rules, if that's legal. So we have to find that out.
Will we be looking into anything like the number of bedrooms or things like that, or the parking? Because if we've got this one over here that has two bedrooms versus this one over here,
we can do anything. I'm just bringing up the information.
20 or 30 people at a time.
We can do anything. I'm just bringing up, here's the other considerations, right? So really in our fee structure, the only things that I see, and maybe Andy might disagree or one of you guys, the only ones that I see are an opportunity to consider, for consideration, are water, sewer, and then trash pickup fees, right? Mm-hmm. And so in both of those, you have a couple of issues that you have to figure out. One, how much of the year are they renting before you bump them into that, right? So in the tax ordinance, it's 15 days. If we said 2 or 3 months active on the room occupancy tax collections from the tax office, that bumps you in, or 6 months or whatever, right? And then I put business rate or new rate, right? And then trash pickup fees are the same type issue, right? So one of the issues that, not just the fees, but one of the good things about getting all this data for ourselves is then we can communicate to the short-term rentals all of our requirements that we continue to have problems with, all the P&Zs got better, in a targeted way, and tell them we hold you as the property owner responsible, or you as the management company responsible to enforce, to make sure our ordinances are being addressed with your customers. And if we find them in violation, the bill goes to your property, not to them, because they skate away, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, make them have some skin in the game to make these people help us fix their problems, right? If they're in parking violation, it should go to the property, not to the car. Although maybe we do the car and the property, I don't know. But there's a lot of things we can talk about once we get the data. So I think getting the data is valuable to us for a lot of reasons. And I think when we go to the April 10th community thing, that's where you determine, are we going to treat them as a separate business type or not? Right now, we have not.
Okay, we're not getting into specifics.
Okay, but it comes up as an issue for the town to talk about. We don't have to do it that day, but it becomes a how we're going to move forward in the future, right? Right now, we're talking about getting the room occupancy tax collected, but I think we should also talk about how we treat these businesses as businesses or not, because that's an issue for the town, and it helps us in a lot of ways. Kind of possible path forward. So I think If council says we should do this audit, then I think we should tell people that we're going to do it, right? We should tell them. We're going to send out a note to the realty companies or ask the realtors to give us all the addresses, and we're gathering the addresses, right? Then we should identify the potential properties that are not in compliance. Then we should give them letters. Hey, we believe you are a short-term rental that are in violation of this issue. And then we can follow up with the tax office. Did you get a bunch of new accounts for these addresses or not? And if they didn't, then we got to determine, okay, are we really going to report to the tax office or not? And we could also follow up in that letter. Not only will we be reporting to the New York County Tax Office, but the North Carolina Department of Revenue for sales tax dollars. Now, we got to decide if that's how we want to come across or not, but it's the carrot and stick thing, right? And so
could be letter number three.
Yeah. I think that's a what do we want to come across as. But in the end, if people don't comply, just like our earlier issue, our responsibility is to enforce the law, right? And so we got to figure out how to do that, right? And we can say, oh, it's the tax department's responsibility. There's one guy that deals with this issue, and all he does is bill. Pretty much his whole day is sending out bills and collecting money and cashing checks. That's what he does. And so he's not going to do, and he sent out one letter, right, in October. And they both told me the last time this program was audited at all, and it was a very soft audit, was 2011. So if we don't do it, I hear they're going to talk to the TDA, whatever. I see them not doing anything for another year, and I don't think that's the right place to be. Then, as part of the budget process, Arlen can estimate the impact of this, and we look at, okay, determine if we're going to do it, and then we should start telling people, right? So as Arlen looks at this, we can easily tell him, with these properties, what will be the impact if you change them to the rate that we charge commercial, whatever we call it, mm-hmm. What's that impact? And then we have to determine, do we have the will to do it or not, right? Okay. And if we are considering it, we should tell people so they can, during the budget process, they can show up and complain about it, and we can deal with that or not, and then make a decision, right?
We can't offer an amnesty program or anything like that, can we, Eddie?
No.
I guess we can.
What, for the tax office?
Yeah, I guess
the tax office just set up new accounts. He said that letter got 50 new accounts across the beach communities. I don't know how many Pier Beach hadn't asked him. And maybe in the data actually, but I didn't ask him. He said some of them paid back taxes. Most of them just set up an account. So it says they can go back 5 years, but I asked him, well, how far back could you potentially go if he wanted to? And he said, well, Roger was pretty cool about that. He was talking about, well, you know, for some tax things, I was looking at which rules could apply. He said, I could only figure out the one that would be 5 years. He said, there's some tax thing you can go back forever. But he said, the way this one is, I think I could only go back 5 years. But proving that would be hard. Unless they, to the North Carolina Department of Revenue, IRS, claim rental income, you might could get them that way. But I think we just get them to start paying.
Yeah.
I don't think we, if they feel guilty and pay back, that'd be good, but if they don't, we're not going to fight that battle, I don't think. Neither's the tax office.
Yeah, I was just thinking that if people are worried about 5 years of paying taxes, that's a good reason
participate. Well, right? I think our letter, we just expect you to start paying, and if you don't, and we still think you're short-term rental, we're going to inform the tax office. That's the stick. Right. So then if they start paying, hey, you showed up, okay, fine, right? Mm-hmm. No harm, no foul, right? So this water, sewer, trash, we can get Arlen to look at the impact of the properties. He can easily do that. And then we can decide if we're going to do it or not. If we're going to do it, I think we should tell the short-term accounts that in this budget year, we're looking at changing their water and sewer rates because they're businesses, and let them come vent. But they should, I think you tell people up front what you're doing, and they should be able to say something about it. And then I think this bottom was the one I'm sort of most excited about. We should inform all the short-term accounts of all the applicable rules that they're responsible for informing their renters of in April, so that this year it helps what P&Z's already started about, hey, follow the rules, right?
Could I say something since John is not here?
Yep.
Maybe his liaison could work with him to let him know, and I'm sure Nancy would be more than glad to help him. That needs to be put together right now.
We already have. We've had them before.
Okay, well, he needs to get it together and be sure it doesn't need to be updated or changed. So it's ready to give us as soon as, I mean, April's next week.
Well, it could be May. I just said late April.
No, it would be good because of our budget meetings.
Because I think at our April 19th meeting, we direct this, and we've already got, if we've got the information on properties, we could send out, you know, that's before Memorial Day, Labor Day, whichever one it is.
Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day. And then we tell them, we give them a nice one, say, post this in your rentals because we're going to hold you responsible for enforcing it. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't, we can hold them responsible.
And before, also something WRAR suggested that I would really like to see us pursue is actually putting that in the contract that the management companies have the owner sign so that he has signed, that he understands all of those things. And really, I think it helps the management companies by putting the fees and fines and everything on the homeowner and not on them.
It might help them, but ignorance of the law is not a defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right now, all the
to put it in. We'll give them the information, you know, I think, and they can put it in their contract or not.
The owners never even see it, and the renters throw it away.
They won't be owners responsible like that. I mean, if it's the management company that's not telling people what to do, somewhere, I mean, I don't think that's really fair. I mean,
no, but they're responsible for any bad repercussions.
Well, the management company lets 18 people stay in a three-bedroom place.
Well, they don't always know that, bars. Right? You rent, say, two people, and then everyone shows up.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's a joint thing, and I'm fine with that. I just think that having the target data is good to send to owners.
And I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm getting really, really dizzy here at the last minute. It's the contract to the renter, not to the owner.
So anyway, so I'm looking for some guidance from council. I think this is an issue we should continue to pursue. The next steps would be to flesh out all the properties, right? And so that's a two-step process. One, we have the list from the tax office. We need to reach out to the rental agents and ask them for who they're paying for, basically. Mm-hmm. That's part one. And then part two, once we've got that, share that with the department heads and ask them to review the list to see which properties are missing.
Well, I think many of us did respond to the, several people offered to assist. And I think Mr. Dugan had spoken to me, and I think I'd like to hear his proposal.
I'm offering you doing it.
Nice.
I thought it was offer we
I
doing it.
Oh, that was earlier today.
Yeah, that was
it. No, we talked earlier today and
good. Well, I'm gonna keep working with you, but
we're the two retired guys, so we'll get on it. It's a good idea. It's
well, I'll work with you guys, right? Because I'm already invested some time. I have some other ideas with getting the properties from the online stuff, pulling that data. Okay.
But the main thing is we would be taking hopefully a lot of the workload off the staff.
Right.
And you could ride the garbage truck and write it down and stay safe.
I got police and fire. That's garbage.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he's ridden it before. So have I.
Oh, thank you, sir.
We'll take the car.
Thank you. Thank you so much, David. And
so do we have consensus that we can continue working on?
You too. Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. I agree.
Definitely.
Question or concern
that
I address to the town attorney. We are not the taxing authority here, so don't we have to be careful about what we say and how we say it?
I would not send any letter out without the attorney reading it.
If we do all this work, do we have any work from Roger Kelly that his staff is going to follow up on us sending all this discovery to him?
Well, if they're sent to them and they're a tax collecting agency, they'd be in as much trouble as the owner would if they refused to collect.
So if we went to Coudreau and we said, Chris, as the executive running the county, we believe that this is the value, that is, or this is the number of properties that are not reporting, and the county gets revenue from that, we get revenue from that, and the state gets revenue from that, I do believe that they would take an action.
So Roger understood that we may give him properties, and he was not sure what he would do with it, but he said
he would take any reports from a town that there was someone in violation of a tax law very seriously.
When this became an issue with P&Z and we had the bloodletting meeting here that night, the guy from the tax office had said that he figured Curry Beach was losing $500,000 a year and Carolina Beach was losing more than that, of course, because it's larger.
But then why didn't he do something about it? He is the
fact he's one person.
He's one person.
I don't think it's $500,000, though.
So it's going to be on us and our staff and
county's job. Or to Craig.
Craig Galbraith.
That's why I think ultimately we'll need to go to the board.
Right.
Andy will have to advise us on what we say. Okay.
But us finding out and reporting violators is certainly allowed, and the tax administrator said he was acceptable to take that from the town. How much he can do with it is a different issue. Because
I know what he'll do with it. He'll give it to Wanda Copley.
Who's Wanda Copley, the attorney?
County attorney.
Okay, well, what would she do with it?
That's a good question.
Well, I would expect, at a minimum, she would send a record saying there's a report you're in violation.
Well, I mean, when I worked here the first time, we did some discovery and sent some information in, but then we could never see the list to know if it was ever.
Well, now we can see the list.
Yeah.
Monthly.
And you have four of them working on it for you instead of just you. So this is going to be even bigger and better. Thank you, guys.
We'll hold her responsible.
You're absolutely great. I'm so proud of you.
For the record.
I am so proud of all of you. Okay. Let me go through this as quickly as possible. And you stop me if you have a question. You all have a copy of the agenda of the meeting I attended and Craig almost attended. This was an excellent, excellent program. I really, really learned a lot. I hope one day, somewhere in the future, Curie Beach is recognized as a green destination and receives some magnificent award for it. But meanwhile, a lot of it has to do with our businesses. There's a lot of things available, and I think maybe more so our hotels and motels and things that they do like recycling and keeping track of stuff on computer and all. Anyway, there are all kinds of things that can be done, and they can get assistance for free to find out what those things are. And in fact, at some point in our expansion process, down here about two-thirds of the way, I would like to invite Tom Rhodes here, who is with North Carolina Green Travel, and also the gentleman who spoke with him, who does this with, you guys familiar with SCORE? Bunch of old people who who provide consulting services for free because they're retired and they like to do this. There's a similar one for engineers all over the state that will also help with things like this at no cost and come in and tell you not just that these lights are a huge waste of time, of money and electricity, but your water usage, your IT, your computer usage, all different kinds of things that you normally don't think about. So anyway, I learned a lot. It was very, very good, and I got to visit Beaufort over there, which is a discussion for another time. The legislative agenda, I went to Raleigh to work some on that and was told, and I'm sure you guys have been reading updates like crazy on the tier recognition of counties across the state. That's how they decided to begin with that they wanted to reappropriate the sales tax money and everything based on what tier you were, and now they're visiting that and trying to change it so it'll be a little bit nicer the way they do it. We'll see if that happens, but the sales tax will be coming up again, if not in the short session, definitely in the long session. But one I wanted to tell you about, and I'll have to admit this is a personal bias of mine, and you can't say it'll never happen, because look at what happened to sales tax. There is a bill in there that is being pushed even harder and will come up in the short session. If it doesn't pass, it'll come up in the long session, where municipalities will no longer have any authority over billboards in their community. Anybody would be allowed to put up a billboard anywhere at any time in the state. And the league is adamantly opposed to it. Hopefully, you know, if we hear more about this, we will be too. I cannot imagine a billboard in the middle of Keary Beach. So, well, you can there's have a nice little parking lot right up there we could put a billboard on. Yeah, but we would have no control over it.
No, I understand.
So, you know, let's keep a little eye on that and hope that it, hopefully it'll die a quick and early death. But the bike and pedestrian thing, this was over at Leland. DOT is developing a bike and pedestrian plan for the entire region, not just New Hanover County and all, but the Greenway plan that the MPO developed about 3 years ago will automatically be part of the DOT plan. So there's no problem there. That was very, very good to hear. A comprehensive plan, all of you, and I put more flyers up there. Hopefully you'll be there. One of the things I'm looking for is if the audience were to be divided up into groups, we would need people who could walk around and help oversee the groups, you know, like keep them on track and maybe answer questions and all, but you cannot talk.
Okay.
If you would like to volunteer to do things like that, let me know. So that, you know, whoever leaders are like that, they can have an agenda or talk. It's about the residents talking and putting things together. Okay, I also met with Colonel Hart the other day from, I guess on Monday, from Sunny Point. One of the neatest things to come out of that is that the corner of Dow Road and Ocean Boulevard, where DOT refused to put a blinking sign, he and Mike are going to see to it that it's cleared off like it was a couple of years ago, so that you can see through the trees who's coming down Ocean Boulevard, and Ocean Boulevard can see who the fast cars are coming down Dow Road. So that was exciting. Then I have a dissertation that I sent to David if you're interested in reading everything else we talked about. Andy and I met, was that yesterday or day before?
Andy? Day before.
Day before, okay. Talking about a few things, and one of the things we discussed that Andy got very excited about was reviewing our ordinances to see which ones might have been in there for 40, 50, even 60 years and don't make any sense or maybe are no longer applicable. Like I was pointed out by a department head, you're not allowed to play softball in the street in Keary Beach.
Not allowed to ride a horse on the streets, not allowed to have a rooster in the city limits.
Okay.
I know.
There's a state law that you can't spit on the sidewalk, but hopefully that's not in us. Anyway, Andy would suggest it and would like to go through our ordinances and pick out ones that need to be either revised or repealed. He'll be working with the department heads so that if it's like someone from one of our departments said some things, they need to stay in there in order to enforce their regulations and get rid of bad people. So
the horse needs to stay in there. So
okay. Yeah.
The street.
Right. We don't want.
We got enough.
We don't want horse poop in the streets. So just very excited that Andy's going to be working on this, and hopefully we'll have it ready for us for our April meeting. Right.
Probably May.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's June, I have no problem with it.
Also, the big main thing that I need to do is a civil penalty section.
Mm-hmm.
The civil penalty section needs to be rewritten because under the Constitution of North Carolina, says any municipality that collects a civil penalty goes to, directly to the school or the county. Now, unless it's specifically written that it is a true, honest-to-God civil penalty, then the town may keep it. But we've got several situations in our ordinances where it's a civil penalty, and then after certain violations, it's a criminal penalty, and those things have to be corrected. I will go through the ordinances, each one of them, and make a recommendation to you, but it's going to be up to you to decide whether you want it civil or whether you want it criminal. It cannot be both.
And one of the other issues that came up probably between a couple of us involved some personnel policies that we have. And I learned at the School of Government training that we went to that personnel issues should be in policy. They should not be in the ordinance. And Andy explained that to me and agreed with me. So that's another thing he'll be looking at. It'll be one or the other, especially if it's conflicting. Okay, any questions or directions for our attorney? Okay. This coming week, the chancellor over at UNCW gets sworn in. And immediately afterwards, I have a meeting with Tom Tillis's representative from this area of the state. If you have any words of wisdom you would like to pass on, or if you'd like to go with me, you're certainly welcome to. We have the Chowder Festival coming up next week, or sometime in the next couple of weeks. Hope you will go to that. And that's it.
Cool. Make a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Adams first.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we have a commissioner.
So we have four. So just to update the council, so the mayor and I met with Beachwalk, with the town attorney, and Sonny Beaker to talk about the project they're going with their pond, bringing it up to standards per the state. We continue to work with them on what parts we can play in that. We have to take a town-owned pipe and redirected as soon as the permit's approved. One of the things they will request of us potentially is to use the Sandman lots as a laydown area while they're doing their work. It'd be about 5 months. I told them they should request it in writing, and we'd put it on next month's agenda and let the other homeowners association know that we're considering that, so they could come and say if they had any concerns. Sonny was very clear that there would be no dumping of the spoil that they're pulling out there or any hazardous materials or anything. This would just be laying out equipment, and we would put a fence around it and only isolate it to a small area. And I think that's a reasonable thing. It helps them, and it will reduce a little bit the heavy equipment traffic back and forth every day. They think the project will take about 5 months. They think they'll get their permit in May and hopefully starting in late May or June. So that's the update.
And I think they were really pushing Sonny hard on whether his crew would be doing it or whether he would hire a contractor. And he could not say that now. I'd say most of all because that's the huge beginning of the tourist season and his hand may not be available.
Yeah, it's
going
to be a timing issue.
Yeah. So, okay.
But it's a 3-day job, so.
Yeah.
Now he can. Make a motion to close.
One question, when's Beach House Burgers opening up?
They opened up last Saturday, but they open up tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, close next Friday.
Nice.
And then they open up on the weekends till May 23rd. Weather permitting on the weekend, like Sunday.
Now we can some information.
Yes, we do.
Can I make a statement off the record?
As long as you've stayed,
I will
yes.
Make it quick.
You may say it.
It's on the record.
Oh,
it's on the record.
Make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Would you like to make a statement now?
Turn it off. Turn that off. Is it off?
I hope it's still running. Yes. Hold on.
Okay, it's off now.